This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, that sounded very weak. That amen over there. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, I wish it were so easy to say that. Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you look around and you think to yourself, oh no, another day. You climb under the covers and you pull the sheet over your head and you think to yourself, I think I just won't get up. Sometimes it is hard to get up and to say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For you don't feel the rejoicing. You don't feel glad. All you want to do is go back to bed. Sometimes what you face is just too much. Sometimes the fear and the pain is overwhelming. Sometimes the concern for loved ones, their needs, is just so heavy that the thought of getting out of that bed doesn't seem worth it. In fact, you know that you wouldn't get out of that bed if you didn't have a dog sitting there at the foot of your bed with her hind legs crossed going, it's time to get up, Daddy. Come on, time to go outside. I know your clock says 5:30, but it's time to get up. I know you went to bed at 3. It's time to get up and let me outside. If it weren't for that, you just wouldn't get up. Sometimes it is terribly hard to get up and to proclaim, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes you just want to dive back under the covers and pretend the day hasn't started. Sometimes you want to say, God, let's have a do-over. Give me a different day. You make them. Make me a different day than today. I don't think I can face what's ahead of me. My brothers and sisters, it's in those moments. It's in moments like these when you don't want to wake up, when you don't want to get out of bed, when you don't want to face the day that the Lord has made, when you find it hard to rejoice and be glad in that day. It's in those kinds of moments, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, that we must turn to words like we have today from Paul in the letter to the Colossians, where he writes, may you be made strong with the strength that comes from God's glorious power. When we do not feel it within ourselves, when we look at ourselves and we feel weak, we feel useless, we feel worthless, we feel incapable of doing what God has called us to do and be. In those moments when it is so difficult to get out of that bed, then we need to hear these words from the Apostle Paul as he writes, may you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power. That first word, strong, comes from the Greek word dunamis. It means power, it means energy, it means strength. It means explosive, abounding power. We get the English word dynamite from the word dunamis. And in case you missed it, the apostle uses it twice. May you be made strong with all the strength, dunamis. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power. Possible translation, alternate translation might read, may you be made explosively strong, energetically strong, with all of the explosive strength, energetic strength that comes from God's glorious power. Here, it's a different word. Power is a different word, kratos, and it means quite literally authority, majesty. might, position. In other words, may we be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's authority, with all the strength that comes from God's majesty, the glory of God's majesty and authority. In those moments when we're feeling weak, in those moments when we're feeling as though we just can't get up and face the world, in those moments when we feel overwhelmed by what faces us, in those moments when we wonder how we're going to make it through the day, in those very moments we should look to Scripture and an example like this from Colossians and realize that we don't do it on our own and we don't face the world on our own, and what we face with Jesus. And that merits an amen. I don't believe you believe it. Amen. I still don't believe you believe it. Amen. The apostle's not done. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from God's glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. Ugh. I'd rather avoid it, God. Can I avoid everything? I don't like the idea of having to have patience. I don't like that word endure. I'd rather go around it all. Can't I just have a do-over? Can't we just restructure the day and I don't have to face it? No. No. But what you face with God. What you face with Christ. What you don't face alone. That's the good news. That's the gospel message. That's the proclamation we have. That's the faith that we are called to live out. That's the trust we're called to have. That no matter what we face, we don't face it alone. We face it with Christ. No matter what our day is, we don't live it alone. We live it with God. And notice, now you know, if you know me, and if you've been in Bible study with me, you know I love the qualifiers that these passages bring with them. And notice, there are no half measures here. The apostle doesn't say, may you be made strong with some of the strength. May you be made strong with a bit of the strength. May you be made strong with a little bit of the strength. No, it says with all of the strength. And may you be prepared to endure not some things, not a few things, but everything. No matter what you face, you'll be able to endure it with patience while joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, God, I think I'd be more joyful. I think I'd be able to face it better if I was an inheritor of, I don't know, Bill Gates. Give me a few $1 billion in that bank account, and I think I could face anything joyfully. Yeah, right. Just makes it worse. Give me a few $1 billion, God. Make me an inheritor of Bill Gates, and I think I could face anything. Well, no. We are promised, we are told that we have been made already, past tense, completed. We have been made inheritors of the saints in light. Last week we heard about all saints, the communion of the saints, that we are part of a great cloud of witnesses, those who have gone before us, those who are with us today, and those who are yet to come. We're part of the communion of the saints, and we have been made inheritors of what it means to be a part of a great cloud of witnesses, a part of a family of faith, a part, a member of the family of God. We are inheritors not of billions from Bill Gates. We are inheritors in the family of God. That should be overwhelming to us. That should be overpowering to us. We face the world with God in the family of God. We don't face the world alone. We face it with God, shoulder to shoulder with our sisters and brothers in the faith, shoulders to shoulder with the saints everlasting, shoulder to shoulder with each other. That's good news. We're not in this alone. God is with us and we are with each other. Notice what is said in verse 13. The apostle keeps going. He has rescued us from the power of darkness. Notice that's again past tense. Completed, already done. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're no longer trapped in darkness. We're no longer trapped under the power of evil. We're no longer trapped under sin. We are freed, and in the family of God, we have been transferred into the kingdom of God. And it's in that context that we face the day. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad, and it can be hard to proclaim. But when we realize that we face that day with God, that we face that day hand in hand with Jesus, that we face that day arm in arm with each other, we can truly rejoice and be glad in it. The apostle keeps going. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We live in the family of God. We live in the kingdom of God's beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And because we have redemption, he has redeemed us from the darkness, from evil. We don't have to be afraid. Our sins are forgiven. Christ Jesus our Lord. We don't have to fear God. Christ stands in for us, intercedes with the Father for us, and we can truly go to God, thankful and rejoicing. Now that is where I was getting ready to begin my sermon. Let's go one half of the next verse here. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now right there, I could probably preach another couple of hours worth of sermons. Don't worry. Them graphically represented with icons on a computer screen.
Interestingly enough, that word icon is the Greek word for image. In other words, you can say that Jesus is the icon of the invisible God. And when we click on Jesus, and when we access God through Jesus Christ, we are truly reaching through the visible Jesus to the invisible God. I spent some time in the monastic community, and one of the things I took with me from the monastic community was my model of iconography, Christian iconography.
And my favorite icon, if you've been in the parsonage, you know that every room, even the bathrooms, have one of these. It's an icon of the Blessed Virgin Mary holding Jesus. Now, Jesus is depicted in Orthodox iconography as if he were a small-scale adult human. That's part of the stylism of Orthodox iconography. But in this image, the thing that always caught my attention was Mary herself. She holds the baby Jesus, she holds her child, she holds the Christ child lovingly to her cheek, while with the other hand, she offers him to us. She becomes the God-bearer, the bearer of God for us all. Through her willingness to give herself to God, she brought into the world the icon, the image of the invisible God. She willingly said, "Let it be with me according to your will, O God." And she was overshadowed, and God came into the universe in the form of Jesus of Nazareth. And she offers him to us all. Next Sunday is our special Thanksgiving feast here at the church. So I have moved the lectionary readings for Christ the King Sunday 1 week earlier. This is the end of the church year, in other words. We begin the season of Advent real soon, in which we look for the coming of the Messiah, our Savior Jesus. May we be made ready. May we be empowered by all the grace of God. May we be filled with the love of God so to share it with others as Mary shared the Christ child with us. May we be willing and able and ready to be made strong with all the strength of his glorious power. And may we then turn and share the love of God with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and may the saints of God say, Amen.
Listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.